Christ's name, amen.
Amen. As Brother John's taking up the offering, let's all stand. Let's sing that chorus, Learning to Lean, as Brother Don gets prepared to come from the responsive reading this morning, the Kia F. Y'all remember Brother Colley in prayer too. I tell you, I miss him. He's been a soldier and has always pressed through coming up here and just standing here and helping in the responsive reading. Amen. Learning to lean. Oh, I'm learning to lean. Oh, I'm learning to lean on Jesus. I'm finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Oh, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean. Oh, learning to lean on Jesus. And finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Good morning. Happy to see all these smiling faces and just to be here in the house of the Lord today and be with my family. As I look around, you truly are my family. And I'm so happy to be here. I was kind of torn between two scriptures this morning, and I'm sorry to hear about Brother Colley. Really pray for him. He drives a long way to get here every day. And when you get on up in age, I know some of the young ones don't realize it yet because you hadn't crossed that mark yet. But when you do, you'll realize it if you still here. But it gets harder. Your body just don't cooperate sometimes. And Brother Colley and Brother Daugherty driving a long way. That's a lot. A lot of demons on the road, folks. So I always pray for every one of them. Anyway, we're going to read from John 17. We're going to read 1 through 19. Really take heed to the word here this morning because it's a beautiful scriptures. It's all beautiful. I had several that I wanted to read this morning, but this one just come up first. So, ready back there? There we go. As we read this morning, before we go to his word, let's thank the author. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day you've given us to come and gather around your word again, Lord, to take in that word of nourishment, Father God, that strengthens these bodies. Most of all, Father, feed our hungry souls, that in you are our hope, Lord, that our faith grows stronger and stronger, because what's holding us back is us, Lord. We know we just don't have enough faith yet, Father, but continue pouring it to us, Lord. And we just ask, Father, that you touch and bless those that couldn't make it through the doors today. Be with them, Lord. You heal them at Calvary. And the only thing holding them back is the faith. Strengthen our faith, Father God, in your word, that we can walk in your word as you have foreordained us to do, Lord. And Father God, we just ask today that you touch and bless our precious pastor, who's he's standing here like an old strong corner post, pouring his heart out. Because he loves us, Father, as we love you, Lord, and as you love us. Bless each one that's not here today, Father, and strengthen them. Bless this congregation here today, Father. Continue sending your word to heal us, Lord. We ask it in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sorry about that. They say sometimes, wherever you receive your new birth, Brother Branham said you'd always act that way when he come on the scene. So I understand Brother Bob sometimes. a lot. It's a very emotional thing. Amen. Forgive me. As we read, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible that the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. Huh? Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Y'all help me out here, okay? Woo. There you go. Amen. Let's try this one, okay? These words spake unto Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify my son, that my son also may glorify thee. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, and only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent.
I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou givest me to do.
And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. My word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee.
For I have given unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I come out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me.
I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine.
And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them.
And now I am no more in the world, but these are the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. And now come I unto thee, these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves.
I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world.
I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil.
They are not of the world.
Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth.
As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world.
And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Thank you. You may be seated.
Amen. What a promise to be kept in his name.
Yes.
Amen. Let's turn to page 77 in the Spiral Songbook, if you have it near you. Sing this song before our brother comes out this morning. Be thankful that your understanding is turned upon Jesus this morning. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life for last in He passed, and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more dominion, for more than conquerors we are. So turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful grace, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Sing that chorus once more. Oh, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let's all stand. Oh, hide it under a bushel, no. Oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Yes, hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan blow it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hallelujah. Amen. And we let it shine by telling people about Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Keep that testimony of fire, especially in this day and age. Let's sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart as our brother comes this morning. You ready for the word, to hear the word? It has something for you. You either come to criticize or expect. It's your attitude towards the word. It's where God meets you at. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Yes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you. Oh, Jesus, I want to see you.
See him, don't you?
Amen.
Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scriptures, turn to Matthew 22 and 2 Peter 1. Matthew 22, 2 Peter 1. Remember to pray one for another. I know you have. Remember there's sick among us. I talked to Brother Collie yesterday. They was going to run some tests on him and things before they let him go home. So just pray that the Lord would be with him. He said his temperature had went down, but he did test positive and all. And so just keep him in your prayers, but you just had the temperature part, and then he said that went away. But they wanted to run tests. Amen. Wade in June will be traveling back. He's preaching for Brother, I believe it's Brother Height up in Kentucky. And just pray that the Lord would be with them traveling back in this afternoon. The Lord willing. Aaron be preaching Wednesday. Okay, so we got that. Got everything going. Remember to pray for Sister Cleta. We talked to her the other day. She's eating now a little, so Amen. That's a help. You know, that's a point that maybe it'll get her all cleared up and everything will start working with her to where she can do. She wants to, I know what she wants to do. She wants to run the aisles, and they probably don't want her to do that right now. But just pray that the Lord would bless, okay? Matthew 22, verse 10. Father, we thank you for the grace and love that you have bestowed upon us. Thank you for the day and the hour that we have. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for all things. We ask you that you would just be with us and guide us now as we read your word and as we speak about you. Be with Wade and him there, Lord, as he's ministering, and I'll just be with him and take care of him, give him a safe trip back. Everything be all right. We love you. We thank you, Father. Be with each one of the sick among us. We know that our list is getting longer and all, and as we're getting, all of us getting older, it's coming up about the day and time that we're living. But we pray that you would just guide each one of us, reach down and touch the sick and deliver each one. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 22. This is the marriage supper, you know, the invites and things. But we're just mainly wanting the last part of the part of the scripture. But we'll start on verse 10. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment, and he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into the outer darkness. Then there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now that's the main part of what we're doing to get to that after a while in the message. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter 1 verse 10. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, the point, see, I'm getting back over here. You got the wedding services. You got the wedding, the coming in, the bridegroom and the thing, and the things of happening of all life. And then here you're coming down to seeing how that you get an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Okay, you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the word. But I kind of look back there, and every time I look back, I get kind of wondering if I'm leaning. Because there's a whole lot more over here on this side than there are over here on this side. And it looks like a building is moving over. So, you know, just stay where you're at. Okay. All right. Amen. Now, I've tried to bring some things on predestination and all like that, and we've studied it and talked about it, and the last message we tried to cover some things about how does God predestinate. All right, we know predestination is a destiny determined before. You know, your destiny is that it's determined if there's a destiny, and then, you know, we're looking at the end of all things, and I believe we're down here to where we can comprehend in this day that we have the destiny is here. And what is our destiny? What is our point? What are we supposed to be looking at in this age? Because there is a destiny. There ever age had a word or seed, you know, to give to that age. And every age has fulfilled that and brought it forth in manifestation. All right. See, then it comes to the basis of knowing that God and how he predestinates. And how does he predestinate? By what? By foreknowledge. Not the fact that anybody, he would desire anybody to be lost. He wants everybody to be saved, but he knows they won't be. And we know that. We have that understanding within ourselves to comprehend the point, you know, that as many people as are in the world, they're just not going to be saved. But what, you know, everybody, because it's not for everybody. It's for a chosen people. But how did he choose that? Now, that's our point that we've been driving at for time and, you know, and all, is how can God predetermine or set a destiny for someone, you know, without it being crossing up and it looks like he picked one, you know, choosing one and losing the other. All right. Now, if we look at that basis, then we're making everything on a basis of choosing without having a situation. And then when it comes to Jacob and Esau, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Well, now we know that the word there for the hate word is not the right term to use there, but it's not saying that God hates Esau. He just don't like his ways. See, you say, well, he hated. No, he didn't hate, because God can't hate. There's nothing within him to be able to hate. His whole makeup, his whole thing is love. His whole nature, his ways, his doing is love. And it cannot be determined to where it would be, you know, well, God hates this person and loves that one. No. It's based on whether or not he saw by foreknowledge. And that's the main thing, right? Foreknowledge. Foreknowledge is back there. Destiny is going to where you're going to. Predestinated unto. See? Which means a position that you must come to. That we'll get to that this afternoon more, the Lord willing. But to think about it, that how does God do that without choosing or picking? But yet we know he does choose and pick. Because he chose us. All right, we'll read it in the scriptures and get on around in a minute. We never chose him. He chose us. He cannot override your free moral agency. That can't work. He must give you the right to choose, but he knows your choice. Now, if he's God, then truly he would know before the foundation of the world, so then he could go ahead and write all the names in the book or leave the names out of the book of life, because he's God and he's infinite. He's finite in all of his doings. He is, you know, to the basis of you can't pull anything over on him, so don't try that, you know, and try to figure out, well, we're this, that, or the other. Just accept it like it is. That's what I've tried to get you to see, just to simply talk about predestination in the terms and points of seeing that, you know, that God, before the world ever begun, in his mind, he could see everything that would ever take place. All right? So then he would see that some people would want to be saved. And he could see that some people would not accept their salvation. All right? So then it would be left on some reason or some point or the thought, you know, well, how does he do that? Because if he just picks out, I'll take this one and reject that one, then that's respect of persons. And that's overriding your free moral agency. So he's got to allow you to do, and it's got to be that, we talk about the book of life written before the foundation of the world when Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before the world ever begun. But see, that had to come to a place to take place. That was in God's mind. All right? But see, one day it became a reality. Somewhere around 2,000 years ago, see that he died on Calvary. All right. Then we can see that he made the place, he set the thing, the destiny that before the world, not that he set a point, but he knew what would take place. That's what I've tried to get you to think on predestination. Think about it as God knowing all things. All right. See, then Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain before, but yet that happened 2,000 years ago in reality. All right? See, you and I, that's what I'm trying to get you to look at now. We're in reality. We're sitting here right now.
Right. Amen.
In reality. Right?
Yes.
In reality now, sitting here right now. This is our destiny.
Right. Yes.
All right? This is our point. This is where we're living. Okay? Now, we're going to have to go further on because there's a destiny set for things and all. And there's something that, see, you say, well, I'm a born-again Christian. Well, that's great. We'll get to that this afternoon on your predestinated in adoption. That's not your birth. It's not your adoption. Your adoption is your placing or setting and looking at somebody finding today where we're at, our destiny. And see, then you'll see what it means when you come up to predestination and the point to where it goes to on adoption. But to get to the point now, that's what we're talking about. Predestination is a destiny determined. All right? We covered, as I said, in about two messages so far, trying to get the point of seeing how does God predestinate. It's not how we think about it. It's not what we think it is. See? Because we'll get it all messed up. But it's whether or not what he knows. All right? And see, if you say he doesn't know, then what kind of a God are you serving? See? So give him the right, study it like that and think about it, that he would could foreknow before the world ever begun and see that and see that you would choose. You would choose him as your Savior. That you would choose him as your God, like the Old Testament form, see? And we studied that about Abraham and him. And what did God, why did God go to Abraham? What was his reason? Why did he choose, as we look at it? Why did he choose Abraham? Because you're not talking about the new birth. So you get over into the new birth, you get into a deeper meaning or thoughts about what you're talking about, and you can see more that that we were chosen in him. All right? Not just the point of saying we were chosen of him, and that's true, that's good, but we were chosen in him. But go back there as I did with you and tried to talk about Abraham. What made God go to Abraham? See, there must be something, some reason, some point that you look at to where that you can see God does not pick and choose. You know, I'll take one, won't take the other. But he knows. He knows your destiny. You don't know it. But he knows your destiny. He knows where you're going to. All right? We may not know that much. We have to live day by day. That's why I keep emphasizing, if we'll ever get to realize right where we're sitting now, we're sitting in our predestination. We're sitting in our destiny. Our destiny is being formed. All right? Everything's coming in order. All right? Then as it does, then we can look at it and see where we're at right now. See, when we get to it this afternoon, you'll see more about it. That the scripture says, you know, that we were chosen of him. He said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. Well, then, all right. It looks like you ain't got nothing to do with anything. All right, now that's what I tell you that you've got to understand about the Bible and the way it is and the way the Word of God turns out to be. Because on one set of scales or one way of looking at it, he chose you. You didn't have anything to do with the choosing. But on the other side of the same scale, you're looking at it and the fact that you chose him. You accepted him. All right. See, it has to be done that way to bring both of them into view. And when you do, you bring it together in a situation of saying, well, now he chose me. So it don't matter what I do or what it is because he chose me. All right. Now, see, that won't work. All right. But the fact was true that he did choose you. But then the fact is true that you must accept him. He cannot override your free moral agency and make you choose him. No. He knew, though, by foreknowledge, going all the way back in the mind of God, all the way before the foundation of the world, he knew before the world ever begun, before anything ever started, he had in his mind what he was going to do. He was going to have a group of people. He was going to bring into being a people upon the earth. He knew that in his foreknowledge. All right? But not only that, he knows what those people will do.
Right, man.
See, that way he's not making you choose him. He's looking at the fact of what you did. You accepted him. If you don't bring it on the point of a free moral agency to put it to where that he can't override that and make you saved, but he can look at what will take place and know what your salvation is and have everything ready. Now, when you get down to where we're at now, from where we are sitting today, and I'm going to say it that way, where you'll, I'll try to keep everything, try to make it certain, lining up to where we are now. All right? Not yesterday and not tomorrow, but we'll get to it this afternoon. And the prophet says you're predestinated unto adoption. Yeah. All right? Somebody has to come to that place.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
See, then somebody has to reach that place, and it is based upon what you accept.
Right.
Stature of perfect man is not based upon God just pouring it into you.
Nope.
It's based on what you can accept.
Amen.
All right, we got to get that right, see, because where we are now going on, nobody, I don't mean to get into this evening, but I'll repeat it, don't bother. See, nobody in no age has been predestinated unto adoption but this age here.
Amen.
You're predestinated to a destiny.
Right.
Every age has a seed, a word, a predestination, and a destiny to come to that place.
Right.
Martin Luther, as Wade was bringing out the other day, and these brothers have been talking about it, Martin Luther of the just shall live by faith, that was the predestinated word for that age. All right? See, then once he reached that age, he had reached his position, and he had to go by the grave.
Right.
He couldn't stay here. See, then John Wesley comes along with sanctification. All right, that was another word, predestinated, that had to take place. And in doing that, see, then his destiny, that God before the world saw John Wesley come to that place, and he had the word for him.
Yeah.
All right, you come in through your Azusa Street and thing. And that's good. But remember, that's not the finish of the story.
Right.
The finish of the story is in me and you.
Amen. That's right.
And we've got to remember one thing. He could see the beginning and the end. In the beginning, before the world ever begun, anything other than being in his mind. Right. Let's don't try to get anything out of that. Let's get it into that. When we finish up the message, maybe this afternoon, we'll talk about gifts and callings. There's gifts and callings that are without anything you do. That God does give them to us. But we got to get the rest of it right up to there. We've got to understand that no matter what takes place, what here, there had to be a foreknowledge of knowing that God would send a prophet in this day of Malachi 4. And that would be a predetermined seed to take place in the day that you and I are living. Well, just think of it on one thing. Why can't you think of it this way? If he predestinated a prophet for the age, a seed, a word for the age, he would have to predestinate a people to accept that word.
Amen.
We're going to go beyond foreknowledge when we eventually get there. You say, you can't go do that.
Come on, brother.
Why not? He's the infinite God. He knows all things, so he knows everything just as well one way as he knows the other way. All right. But are you thinking with me, how does he predestinate? We know he does not predestinate. We've been through these. They can bring this up if they want to on the quotes. I'm beginning lately to just give you the tape it's out of and going to trying to get you to understand, to help us to realize that. Go to number one, which is the harvest time. God had predestinates by his foreknowledge. All right? And then he can set the destiny by that foreknowledge and not by your desires. That he desired that everybody be saved. And we have to look at the thing and see that we didn't desire him. We didn't understand it all, but we didn't desire him. He chose us. Right. All right, then when he chose us, see, then I've got to accept what he done, knowing that he has a destiny set for me. We're living our destiny. You understand? We're living every day our destiny. We're beyond Pentecost, Azusa Streets and things, by the opening of God's word. All right. And in being that, then our destiny is set.
Right.
But we got to come to that destiny.
Right.
We got to come to that place.
Amen.
Don't you think that God before the world knew what we would do?
Amen.
Don't you think he knows what your desire is?
Yes.
Now how did we cover it about Abraham? What caused God to look to Abraham when there was a lot of people in the world in that day?
Right.
And he chose one man. Abraham. Right?
Man.
Now why did he choose him? Because by his foreknowledge, Abraham chose him or accepted him.
Right.
He knew Abraham would accept what he's doing. That was what I was trying to drive at last week to get you to see it. You know, he knew what Abraham would do, and that's what drawed him to Abraham.
Amen.
He knew, as Brother Brown said, he said, he knew Abraham would teach his children.
Right. Amen.
See? He knows whether or not you'll teach your children and try to bring them to the truth.
Right. Amen.
All right? See, then his predestination is not to look down through time and say, I need somebody, so, I'll just take this guy. No, there was something about Abraham. And I tried my best to explain it to you. Abraham, the Bible said, believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So whatever you make Abraham to be or have or whatever, make it the point that God knew. See, then that way you won't be running over into our day and our times and get into message and bring the quotes and try to prove our point. Oh, that we were back there before the foundation of the world. Well, in God's mind, right? Well, in God's mind, everybody was back there. In God's mind, he wrote the book of life, right?
Right.
But he also wrote, as Daniel has it, there's books.
Right.
See, that's what I'm trying to get you to see and get you to look at. God foreknew everybody.
Amen.
He knows what everybody will do.
Right.
He's not just picking and choosing. See? You got to get to where you're at to be able to understand that. This is the only age that will bring it to the picking and choosing.
Right.
So you and I have a choice.
Right.
We can take the word, we can receive it, we can go up the statue of a perfect man, or we can just laze around and say, forget it. But you know, nobody's ever had that except you and I.
Right.
Now get that point. Nobody's ever had the opportunity that you have.
Amen.
That's what I've been driving at. That's what I've been trying to preach to you. You have an opportunity that nobody has ever had.
Right.
Because you can go back to seeing how that you could be a part of God. And how that the prophet would say, God is not complete without you. Now, I didn't make those statements. Your prophet did. All right. But you see, there was something about Abraham that caused God to move into that position? You say, well, he foreknew. Right. He foreknew that Abraham would receive him. That's what I'm trying to drive to get you to see. By his foreknowledge, he knew Abraham would do what he would do. But he knew the rest of the people would do what they would do. So he's not picking and choosing. Right? He's going by the fact of what he knows. He knows Abraham would do the way he done. But he knows he could deal with, you know, with anybody else in that day. He could deal with them for 100 years and they'd never move one stitch. You just think about Abraham. Get what I'm talking about. Get your predestination. Get out all of your great ideas of, oh, if I was back before the world, then I'll be back before the world. Well, everybody was back before the world in God's mind. Every person that would ever be in the world, every gnat that would ever come into the world was in the mind of God before the world. So that's why I've always tried to teach you. I don't want to be what God thinks of in his mind. I want to be a part of the one that's doing the thinking.
Amen.
I want to be a part of him.
Amen.
See, then that way, then I'll find out that I'm not picking. I mean, he wasn't picking and choosing, but yet he was. That's what I'm telling you. I can cover the scale and go one way and preach to you about how that God chose you. And you didn't choose him. You didn't have nothing to do with it. You didn't have to, you know, you can bring it all down because that's the way people go. But turn right around and go over on the other side of the scale and preach the point that God was looking at you and you made a choice. You say, well, I just don't understand it because one way you're saying I made a choice, another way you're saying I didn't make a choice. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm wanting us to see. There was a whole world full of people. God could come down and talk to a lot of them. But why did he choose Abraham? See, there was something about the nature of the man. Why does he wind up to be, I think it's four times, says our father Abraham. Why does it wind up to be that Abraham is the father of faith? Ever what he was looking at in Abraham wound up one day to walk on this earth in a human flesh. And wound up dying to give his life. Where you could have an eternal life.
Amen.
See, you can't just put it on one way and look at it and say, well, I just don't understand. I just accept the fact that he died for me. Well, that's good. But we're in a day when it's meaning more to us than ever that there's something about this end time that God has been waiting on a people. He's waiting on you and I. He's waiting for you and I to come to our choice. To where that he can look at it and say, that was what I saw before the world ever begun. Was you making that choice? And I've been just waiting. In other words, that's the way God would say it. It's human terminology. I was just waiting for you to come to the place to where you could accept it. See, there's something about you that's different.
Right.
Well, a new birth, that's all right. But remember, Abraham was a man without the new birth.
Right.
He never had the new birth to make a choice from. You have something that motivates your choice today. You come a long ways to be able to get here today. Something motivated that choice. Huh? See, you didn't have to. You could stay at home and play a tape. You know, you could just stay at home, play a tape, get the tape, and just play it. But listen, church, he's not looking for the people to just want to, well, I listen to the tapes. I do this, that, and the other. I'm in the message. I'm listening to the prophet. I get it straight from the prophet. I don't listen to nobody else. Well, you think God didn't see that? Would you think God didn't see you struggling to get here today? I remember Brother Zimmer was talking about this. Brother told him about it, and you know, and he's going to Jeffersonville, and Brother Brown told him, said, you struggled all the way here. They asked him, said, or talked to him, said, well, what about it? What? He said, I just got in a car and drove there. But to Brother Branham, it was a great struggle. There's no telling what went in between all of that. He may have had a flat tire. He may have had a this. He may have had that. He may have had a wreck. He may have had all kind of things. And God looks at it like that. He's looking at your desire. He predestinates according to your desire. Not according to his own desire, because he desired that everybody be saved. But he looks at your desire. He looked at Abraham and he saw a man that he contacted him. And then he knew that he'd contact him many, many times in his journey. And it would keep unfolding. But he knew what Abraham would do. So Abraham's called the father of faith. Now, I've always tried to get you to see that there's a man without the new birth. Without the new birth, that man, still there was something about him that God looked down and saw him. Like I said, we'll get to Gifts and Callings without repentance. What about Moses? What about all the gifts that was in the man? What about Brother Branham? What about all the gifts? It's not the person that comes predestinated eternally from God. It's the word or seed. So you got to accept the word for your age and your time. But you got to find it. The prophet preached the message there. Recognize in your day and its message. Well, we believe Brother Branham was a prophet. We believe, well, praise God. But there's a lot more goes with it. See? A predestinated group of people. That their destiny before the world ever begun was already set. Wait a minute now. Well, see, it was set because he looked back there and saw it. Or in other words, he sat there and saw it. I ask you a question about predestination. Was God before the world looking at the whole world ahead of him and seeing it? Or is he looking at it now? Is this what he was looking at? Why can't you move it up to where we are? Come on, you understand what I'm getting at? You understand what I'm saying? Was predestination him sitting back there looking to the forward, or is predestination him living it with us? Your prophet could talk about the Lamb that stood before the foundation of the world and all like that, but then turn right back around and say, but you know that took place 2,000 years ago. Do you realize what would have happened had that not taken place 2,000 years ago? It would have made the word a false prophecy. You realize your prophet said there's going to be a bride to come to a change of the body, and if somebody don't reach that, then it would wind up being false prophecy. But don't you worry about it. It's already predetermined. All we got to do is just walk. That's what I'm trying to get you to see. It ain't hard. You say, how are we going to get out of here, Brother Dale? How are we going to come to a change of the body? How are we going to, when we fulfill the word that is predestinated in the age that we're living? When we live the life. You see, then God did choose you for some reason. But he didn't choose everybody for some reason. So I'll keep going back to it. He looked at Abraham and he saw in that man what he was looking for. Someone that he could come down and contact and get him to line up and go with him and walk. When there was the whole world. He could have picked any of them. Like I've always tried to get you to think about. There's the little Virgin Mary. How many little virgins in that day was going around saying, you know, I could be that girl. I could be that one the Bible speaks of. Because they could read it. You remember Brother Branham, why he was doing it? He said, Joseph and Mary were sitting down and said they were talking about the message and the hour and all. And he said that was what was on her mind as she was going to the well that morning to get some water. And God just stepped out in the form of an angel. But you see, she said what the key was. Why did God choose her? The key was what she said. When he told her, that angel told her what was said, she said, first off, she said, how can I do it not knowing a man, right? That was human. That was all. He said, God's going to take care of that. Then she just turned around and said, be it unto me according to what you've told me. That was what contacted God. Are you following me? If you're looking for anything to contact God with, go back to his word. See, I've tried to tell you about it, you know, and I'm not trying to make anything of being or thoughts or anything, but that was the thing that caught me. I told my wife, I said, I was reading the Bible one day, and I told her, I said, before the end of the world comes, there's going to be two prophets. Well, see, I couldn't get it straight. I didn't know how to straighten it up. So I had Malachi 3, Malachi 4. And I said, I could see that. Well, why would I see it when the theologians couldn't see it? They didn't see it. They didn't accept it when it came. Right? See, by the proof of what it was as to whether or not it was right or not and what I was doing, I accepted it quick as I heard it and never had any trouble accepting the message. Right? Why? All right? And look at it easily. By it being that way, God had something he could come down and contact me with. When Brother Moult began to talk about a prophet coming in the end time, see? Like I told you about that man down there one day at work, was talking about the Jehovah's Witness and their doctrine. He said, if you just believed in prophets, me and you could talk. I said, I got a little bit of understanding of the Bible. I said, let's go ahead, let's get started talking. I think I can kind of hang with you a little bit about prophets, you know. Cause there I was trying to talk to him about who the prophet was, you know. All right. What are you with me? See, I'm trying my best to get you to see this point. Some reason or some point, sure. God looked down and he saw every move, every man would ever make, every thought. He saw that he would give everybody a change. And he wouldn't pick or choose. Sure, he would choose in the basis that when we accepted him, because you've got to accept him as your Savior. You say, he accepted me. That's the important thing. No, no. He's working on the basis that you accepted him. And then when you come to the point of seeing that you accepted him as your Savior, then he can bring salvation on the view, into view, to break it, make it personal. He saw before the world ever begun that a man would die on a cross. Right? But you know what? One day that man had to die on the cross or it would have just been no good. Think about where you come from and how you heard about the message and the thing. Just think about that sometimes and how that you was contacted, as we call it, or you know, you come into the message, you received it, you walked in it. I can tell a few of your things. Our boy raised his hand. Well, you know what he had to do? He had to quit this job, had to go through this job, had to go through that job and come to Gainesville. Well, then he had to meet Janet, and then he had this, that had happened. What about it? Just think about it. This thing ain't haphazard. And it's simple. Once you see it. Get it all straight of how that God could set back before the world and see everything that would ever take place. But the way I think, see, I'm sorry, that's just the way I think. I think he can go over here and look back that way. I think God can go to the end and look back and see the beginning. He's infinite. See? So then I'm asking you, is this the predestination? You're living your predestination. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right? All right, according to the prophet now, he said that's predestination. He said, but now predestination is not your new birth. Adoption and things, not your new birth. Stature of perfect man is what you got to be dealing with now. So we're a group of people that's got something personal right out of the Word of God that has got to be fulfilled in our age. We have got to come to the place of the stature of a perfect man. And why can't we say us? Why can't we believe it's us? See, think about it. How did God cross your path? That's what I was trying to do with you the other day in the message there. How that God contacted Abraham. How that God contacted Moses. How that God contacted David. See, there was something about David that the Bible says he's a man after my own heart. Now, he was a murderer. He was all kind of things. But you know what? He had a nature about him that God liked. You know what his nature was? He loved God. That's simple. He loved God. See? He didn't know about all the things, but he just knew. See? But then one day he came in contact with the prophet. I like what Saul said, you know. He was trying to talk to her one time. It's in the movies, just man's ways, but it was a good point. He said, telling them boys and all, said, just beware of an old man with a bottle. You know what I'm talking about. He contacted Saul. He anointed him. He became king. He had a lot of trouble all through his life. He said, just beware of an old man with a bottle. I thought, somebody picked that up in that movie and put it in there as a good point. See? But listen, do you see how that he could predetermine something by the fact of what that person would choose? Okay? Ephesians says, 1:3, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, let's try to bring this thing up a level. Because looking at it from the Old Testament standpoint, see, you're not looking at it to where it fulfills what it wants to be. This is a New Testament scripture. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. It was fine back there. Christ was spoke of through the Bible. He read and he done and all. But yet when we come to the New Testament part to think about what happened? What happened the day you accepted him as your Savior? You realize the Bible says that no man can come to God unless the Father calls him. Okay? Then that's why I read the scripture there. Make your calling and election sure. Make your calling and election be scriptural understanding. Make it be what the Bible's talking about, not some, well, if I was predestinated, I'll be there. God knew, he knew I won't be saved. Do you realize what we're doing today proves whether we are chosen of God? What you're doing right now, the thoughts you're having right now, and things about what I'm talking about, is proving whether or not you are called of God. Well, Brother Dale, just don't understand. See, then you're not called of God. See, I hate to say those statements, but I want to say them to where that you'll think. Where you'll think about it, where you'll sit down and ponder it sometimes in your mind and pray and asking God, reveal this to me. To where I can see what's going on. Amen. It sounds like here that he has chosen me, but it sounds like over here that I had to choose him. See, then we finalize it by saying, you can't do both of them. Well, you can in God. Because he chose us, but he knew what we would do. He didn't give you eternal life before the world. That's the problem with the people, see. I always was eternal. That's in God's mind. Because it took 6,000 years to get from God's mind of Jesus Christ dying on the cross to get it into a stage of reality, right? Come on, are you with me? It took 6,000 years, or, well, 4,000 to bring it up, to be technical. To bring it to where that he could die on a tree. Like I've always said to you, he couldn't die at 2 years of age. At 2 years of age, he couldn't be your Savior. He couldn't be your healer. He had to wait till the time. He couldn't be your advocate until he become of age to where he could fulfill that. And his ministry only lasted a 3.5 year period. But yet it finished by Calvary. See, in Calvary is where we were chosen at. Was we chosen before the world, or was we chosen when he died on the tree? In God's mind, He saw us and saw what we do. But in reality, you couldn't accept salvation until Jesus Christ died. Are you with me? You had to wait. You had to be. So then it's not just a haphazard thing that, well, we do this or that. See, I keep referring to Abraham and then try to bring it over now to where we're taking it into the new birth for this afternoon. But there was something about Abraham. And God knew, now listen, I'm going to say it and I mean it this way because I'm going to say it that way. Abraham was the only man in the world that God could come down and contact him and that he would follow him. Now you tell me I'm wrong there and I'll tell you, you sure don't understand the word of God. There was a world full of people. Billions. Even if you want to cut it down with Brother Dale, it wouldn't be. And see, you want to get technical. I mean, I can get technical. If you had a million, if you had 10,000, that's still a large point of what I'm talking about. That he picked one man. He chose one man. But you see, what was he going by? In his mind. In reality, he met Abraham. That's what I'm talking about, trying to get you to see. In reality, Calvary come to pass. Then you could bring salvation into view. Abraham met God in reality. Real. Personal. Saw him. Talked with him. Fed him communion. See, God was looking there and he said, Lot, before the world, this is the man. Are you with me now? Listen to what I'm talking about. God could look before the world by his infinite foreknowledge and thing. He said, I'm looking for somebody that I could contact. Did he wind up being the father of faith? Did he wind up all the things? Did he wind up in the book of Hebrews 11 lays a lot on Abraham. And he says, I've got the man now. All I got to do is let him know it. I've chosen him. Everything's going to be all right. But now he's got to choose me. In other words, he's got to make up his own mind now that there's something about this that's a reality. You take Moses, listen, I was thinking about him the other day. You take and reading the scriptures on what I'm studying on. There's Moses. He goes out on the backside of the desert. Right? He gets run off. He goes out. He's out there for about 40 years. And all at once, something began to talk to him in a way that a bush got on fire. He went to see about it. Then God began to talk to him. You think God didn't know how to contact him? The way Brother Branham brings it, if you'll listen to him, he said, there Moses was, he said, in other words, he had the ability to study it out and he thought about, now that bush is not supposed to be burning. Moses was a very smart man. He could teach the Egyptians, and them Egyptians could do a lot of things in that day. But there when he contacted Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to go. He said, I can't talk. I can't do it. He tried to do everything he could to get out of it. Because that's human. God said, okay, I'll give you a mouth. Aaron will be your prophet. He'll be your mouthpiece. That you can bring up any excuse you want to. I'm going to answer that excuse and I'm going to tell you. Moses said, who do I tell them? He said, I believe that you're the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he said, I want something personal now. I want this thing to be where that there's not going to be any argument when I get down there, where I won't be as scared. I can step out and say, this is it. He said, just go tell him I am sent you. And why did Moses grab that all at once? There's not a word in there. I've read that and studied that and pondered over it, thinking about it. There's not one word in there that Moses said another word after that. When he said, I am that I am, he said, okay, I'm ready to go. Brother Brown said he run over there taking his kids, throwing them on the back of the donkey, and out he went. Now, naturally, probably Moses, as a human being, he probably thought a lot about it. He thought, well, surely there's a contact I've made here with something supernatural, so I can go down there and just whoop the whole crowd. Because remember, Moses was the leader in all the armies and everything of Egypt. He could have caused an insurrection. But he said, get you a stick and let's go. By this stick, you'll be able to take over that nation. He said, well, I see now it's not going to be by my power with a group of army buddies that's going to help me get this thing started. I'm kind of facing it by myself. And he goes walking out. What caused David to just say, why are y'all so scared of that guy standing out there? Well, he ain't had a little old runt. Him standing out there and David looking up at him like that. You know? Hey, look at that little old runt out there. See, that man, that's what that man was saying to him. You ain't never a little runt come out here to fight me. But to David, the giant was just a runt. He didn't care. He said, the bear, the lion, took care of them. I just take care of this. He puts 5 smooth stones in there because they said that he had 4 brothers that might come up to help him. Right? So he said, I'll just make sure and care enough to where I got enough to take care of them because I'm going to take care of the whole thing because I've done met in person. Now listen. I want you to listen. Abraham met the person of God called Melchizedek. 2 or 3 times out of his meeting. Moses met God at a burning bush. David met God with that crucible of oil that was poured on his head. Because like I've always tried to get you to see, once David was anointed, he wasn't scared of nothing. Once he was anointed to be king, he knew one thing for certain. He was going to be king. Because the prophet told him, the word told him. He probably thought it over, thought, well, I may not live but just a few days after doing, but I'm going to sit on that throne. Because God done told me. Predestination made simple. God before the world looked down through time and saw all that would ever take place. And all it would ever be. But it's like I've told you. Why can't you say God's over here right now looking back? Why can't you realize that he's here with you? I thought that's what that I am meant when Moses... I'm asking you, have you ever had a personal experience like Moses with an I am at a burning bush? Have you ever met God in enough to where that you know that he's real? I told you about the story and all, and that's what Luke said. He likes for me to tell him stories. That's one thing he likes. I told you the story of what happened with Wade when I asked God to give some sign or some wonder or whatever for what I could talk to Wade about his salvation. And I saw a foot like of a deer where we was hunting at. Even the neighbor down there, you could all talk to him. And he went around and he said, Sam saw this deer foot some way in a dream and said, we just went around there behind the church and said, there's a nub, three legs and a nub. You know, it didn't bother him. He didn't throw off on all of it. He talked about it, said he saw it in a dream. Well, see, there I was all upset, sitting up there in the woods because some crazy female, I thought, had got out there and spraying perfume everywhere because the sweetest smelling you ever smell. Come down through them woods. And I said, now, Lord, all of this, that, and the other, everything had went wrong. Everything in the day had went wrong. Just totally backwards to whatever. The only thing that made me stay down there, I had the only vehicle that could pull the camper. So I stayed with them to where they could get set up and everything. And then I left and come on home the next day, you know. And there Wade killed this big old deer. Well, I asked him on the way home, I said, do you think that's kind of unusual? He said, yeah. He sure is. I said, well, then let's talk a little bit because God done told me something unusual. That I was supposed to see that. He said, Daddy, that ain't all of it. He said, Donald stumbled all over them woods trying to find a place to put me up. And he said, I couldn't use the bathroom. And he said, I had to use the bathroom at the base of the tree. You know that's taboo. And the deer come right up to where he was at. And he shot him and killed him. Had to jump over and shoot him in the opposite side. My point is what? I believe God would someday come in contact with me about that. Because he'd showed me dreams and showed me things about it. Have you ever had anything just to be so personal and you see it come to pass? You know, you see it yourself. Something comes to pass. You understand what I'm driving at? God come down to mow Abraham so much until Abraham saw a man. He comes so close into Moses until Moses met a man in a burning bush. David met a man that was a king of Israel. And he come forth to fight the battle. Something personal. Is your salvation before the foundation of the world? Everybody wants to try to make it something. If I was back there now, I know I'll be back there. Well, what are you trying to make it? I'm trying to make it right here. This is my predestination. It was determined that I be here today to bring the message. That's my predestination. That's the way I look at it. I look at things personal. God is real. He'll come to you if you'll just believe it that way. But it may be in the stillness of the night. It may be through somebody. It may be any kind of thing. He's got some reason. Well, what was his reason in Abraham? That he saw before the world ever begun that there'd be a man on the earth. He'd be looking for a place for this seed to land because that's what he was doing because that was the word. And he saw there was one man who would accept it. 2,000 years or ever what it took from going before the foundation over to where Abraham was. And God just stops him for a minute and says, Abraham. Abraham says, what? I mean, we look at it as a 5-minute story today, but that God appears to Abraham and then he just, no, I think it could have been quite a little bit. And Abraham was thinking it over and mulling it in his mind. What's going on here? He said, come follow me. Like I said about those disciples. He walks up to the disciples. He says, come follow me. Now they just throw down everything and left. Now before the world ever begun, God saw that. But he knew he'd have to be there personally with them for it to ever amount to anything. Is your religion that personal? Is it personal enough to hold you? When everything goes wrong, Brother Branham, did you keep your religion? No, no, it kept me. What about it? Just trying to get you to think about it. Trying to get you to think. John 15 and 6 says, ye have not chosen me, but I chose you. But now, here's my point, always to do it. What if they hadn't accepted that as being God? Right. Romans 8, in number 6, talking about Jacob and Esau. Come on, just bring it on up. We'll read. What shall we say to these things? To this? Is there any unrighteousness with God? In other words, did God choose? It looks like he did because he said, Moses, I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll just do what I want to. But does he do what he wants to? Does God do what he wants to do? Or does he know what it'll take to contact you? Brother Dale, you talk like we need to be prophets and this, that, and the other. Well, why not? See, we'll get to it this evening about predestination. God picks and chooses who what he wants to do with his gifts. You agree? If you don't, you got a problem. But gifts and callings are without repentance. You don't repent to get a gift. But all gifts don't come predestinated eternally. All gifts come predestinated as to God knowing he's going to give them. But the fivefold ministry is predestinated eternally from God. But yet we don't want to look at it like that. But why not? What made God contact you? Ever how you want to bring it, how you want to do it, you want to bring it down or whatever. He came down one day and contacted you. Maybe in the still of the night, maybe in something, you know, maybe while somebody was preaching, maybe while somebody was, you know, directing or doing whatever. All kind of things. I remember Brother Tatum, we used to talk a lot. He said, I was sitting out there on that tree. And he said, just like raindrops coming down on me. The Spirit of the Lord coming present to him. Well, see, it was a reality. Have you ever met him as real? Have you ever had the burning bush experience? You ever been to that basis that you could feel his presence? Just know that he's real. I've turned around and looked to try to, and then realized, hey, I need to just stop instead of looking. I don't need to try to find him. He's already found me. Because he's real. God is real. He's not just a fugitive of your imagination or some thought you have in your mind or some good point that you're thinking about. He's real. Children, just talk to him. He likes to talk to you. But make your calling. Now, let me get this last point and we'll close. Make your calling and election sure. Now, what that means to me is one thing. Make sure of your salvation. Make sure of one thing, that God before the world sat back there and in his mind, He saw everything that would ever take place. He saw you sitting right here today before the world. Make your calling an election. Put it in the Word of God. Make it real. Make it something that you can be proud of to do and contact that He's made with you. What about it? Can you make your call? Can you put your calling? Because see, many are called, but few are chosen. That's what the Word says. Many are called. Why? Because they're called to come to Him, but they don't come. But don't you think He knows that before the world? He knew what it would take to call you to get you to stop. If Josh was here, he could tell you a lot about his when he tried silently to... Oh, there he is back in the corner sitting down. When he tried to pass that car and it wrecked up and everything, and two or three people stopped behind him, and Josh gets out of the car, and that old tree, I still see it. Every time I go by there, there's a piece of bark missing about that big where he sideswiped that tree. And people said, "Where's that other guy?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "There wasn't nobody in the car but me." He said, "We saw a man." I think it was three people. Said, "We saw a man get out of the car and walk down through the woods." Well, you know what? It's about time to wake up. When you get it like that, it's time to wake up. Danny, when you go head first off the house and kapooing down beside her, it's about time to wake up. Somebody's trying to get our attention. It's that personal to me. It's real. God is real. He's not just a fidget of your imagination. He's real. He wants to talk to us. He wants to fellowship with us. Come on, musicians. He wants to have a little time with me and you. God loves His people. He wants to talk. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to accept Him and let Him do the rest. But the first thing or all things is just remember one thing. Predestination looks back to foreknowledge. So God before the world looked down and saw every gnat that would ever be in the world and every time it bat its eye and saw you and every day you're living. But see, remember, now this is what I'm saying. See, tomorrow's not here. Let's don't worry about it. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the time to make your decision to accept Him as your personal Savior and let Him take care of the rest of it. No matter what age you are, how old or what it's doing, He's waiting on us. You see, He's trying to contact us. Could it be? See, He's not going to do everybody the same way, so everybody's not going to have the same burning bush. You don't have to wait and try to find you a bush somewhere to talk to God. Well, when He does that with me, I'll talk to Him. No. It might be anything during the night or in a day or whatever it might be. Might ever be something, a wreck or something to happen, something that's happening to you. Because it's personal. When they were in the upper room, there was 120. And they had little licks of fire setting on each one of them. They had something real. Is your experience real? I'm just trying to get you to think about these things. Just talking about these things and saying predestination is very simple. God predetermines by what He foresaw. Then He can set the destiny of each and every one of us. But remember, as He sets that destiny, He's leaving you and me. Because we'll get to it this afternoon. See, faith, virtue, knowledge, temper, patience. All those things have got to be in somebody in the end time. We're the people that predestination. There's never been a people predestinated unto adoption except this end time people. No. Because even your Pentecostals couldn't accept it. They accepted the birth. The prophet said they made their mistake by not going on. So you and I are going to go, somebody's going to go to a change of the body. That's a predetermined position. You remember the women in the Bible that asked them, said, well, let our children sit here in this hour on your side in your kingdom. He said, that's not for me to give. He said, but it's predestinated. Somebody's going to be there. See, your predestination hangs on the basis of whether or not you can believe that it's personal to you. What we got, Brother Joe? Let's stand.
I just sing that song, I Just Want to Thank You, Lord. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for letting me hear your word.
You have a need.
Such glory revealed to me.
God looked down and saw everything that would ever take place.
Thank for that special night when I saw your glory.
Did you see it? There is your point.
Face to face with eternal
life. There's a
destiny
for people in the end time to a change of the life.
And I just want to thank you, Lord.
Somebody's got to make it manifest.
And we hear
it's very simple.
Word.
That God foreknew all things.
Such glory filled me. Kings for that special
make
night.
Make a mind. Say, Lord, just come find me. You'll find me somewhere, Lord. You've got to be falling somewhere or getting hurt or whatever it takes to find me. And then let me just have that personal experience with you.
Was wretched, poor, and blind. Then I heard recognizing your day, serpent seed and purple. The preaching, the message of grace, Lord, I thank thee.
Father, we thank you for this day and this time that we've had. We pray that what we've tried to make, Lord, into words, that would be brought into the hearts of the people, Lord. That we're living our predestination. We're walking each day in the Word. We've had a burning bush experience and a lot of things. We've met God in a lot of ways. But now it's time for you to come on the scene to each one of us. And Father, just reach down and touch each one. Remember all the sick among us. Remember, Sister. Sister Cleta, Lord, and all the things there, and Sister Tootsie, Father, Brother Al, Brother Collie, Brother Darty, Lord, and all these brothers. Remember our wife, Lord, just reach down and make it something personal that we can walk off of this earth in you. You chose us, but we've got to accept the fact of you choosing us, and we got to walk. Not just sit down and say, well, I've done it and finished now, but to walk in you. Just have your way, Lord. Forgive our sins. Be with Wade and June and them on the way back home today and just take care of them. Let your loving grace be with each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You dismiss.